Well, listeners, I'd like to introduce you to a new guest this morning. Mark Buttolari joins us. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
Well, Mark is the Director of Social Work at Upstate, and today we're going to talk about National Healthcare Decisions Day coming up April 16th. Mark, what does that mean?
It's an opportunity for individuals to reflect on their advanced health wishes and put them in writing.
This is end-of-life care wishes, right? Healthcare proxies, DNRs, we've heard all of these names. This is a day to be thinking about them.
Correct.
All right. Tell us what kinds of decisions we need to be making for our end of life and what kinds of documents and forms there are out there that we need to know about.
One is the healthcare proxy. The healthcare proxy in New York State allows an individual to appoint a loved one or a friend to make decisions in the event you're unable to make healthcare decisions.
So the healthcare proxy is a form, but that form is appointing a person.
Correct.
Okay. All right. There are others too.
The living will. Living will allows you to write down your wishes. It doesn't appoint another person. And you put what you want or what you don't want in the event certain things are triggered.
Right. Certain circumstances might be triggered. But a living will has some questions in New York State, doesn't it?
Yes. Some of the limitations of our living will, it's not humanly possible to put down every single aspect of what might happen.
Right.
So it might not be triggered.
Right. So if it's not triggered, then it isn't used, and you still go back to the person who you've appointed as your healthcare proxy, your healthcare agent, to make decisions for you.
That's correct.
If you are unable to do them yourself.
Yes.
And then what's a DNR?
Do not resuscitate order if your heart stops. Do you want cardiopulmonary resuscitation?
All right. There are also, and I've heard about these in different ways. I've heard of MOLST and I've heard of POLST. It's M-O-L-S-T or P-O-L-S-T, and they're basically the same thing. But tell us what they are, because they're kind of new, aren't they?
Yes. The POLST started out in Oregon, a physician order for life-sustaining treatment, and as it moved east, it became the medical order for life-sustaining treatment. This is a physician order. It's an actionable medical order, and it can serve as a DNR and a DNI. DNR is the do not resuscitate. DNI is do not intubate. In the community, this form follows the patient from the doctor's office into the hospital, into the rehab, back to the doctor's office. So it's an actionable medical order that allows the physician to have the conversation about end-of-life care with the patient.
With the patient. All right. So it's a newer form. So clearly somebody felt like there was a hole in the old forms. Does this one supersede other forms?
It does not necessarily supersede other forms. There's still a New York State out-of-hospital DNR form. For the medical order, life-sustaining treatment, or DNR, these are typically for people that are going to live in a nursing home for the rest of their life or maybe have been given a prognosis of a year or less to live.
I see. All right. So, you know, I hear all of these forms, and I know they have all different kinds of things, and we're talking about some of them are more legally viable than other forms are. So it seems to me the best thing we can do for our listeners this morning is tell them where they can go to get the kinds of forms they need and who can actually help them figure out what it is they need to do.
The in the Upstate Central New York region, there is a community coalition called Sharing Your Wishes.
Okay.
Sharing Your Wishes is a compilation of hospitals, nursing homes, all of whom have been trained to discuss end-of-life and healthcare decisions. We provide community presentations to churches, libraries, any constituent individuals, and we can be reached at sharingyourwishes.org.
Okay. So, or I imagine, too, we can come up with a phone number. We'll put that on our HealthLink on Air website as well. And I love that idea. So you've got a group that goes out to these various organizations, churches, and so forth, to talk about the different kinds of proxies and paperwork that need to be filled out?
That's correct.
Excellent. And then there are other resources as well, right? We've talked about today, or not this today, but coming up this week is National Healthcare Decisions Day. There's some information about that, too.
Yes. At Upstate Medical University Hospital, we are going to have tables set up at the UHCC and within the hospital where
UHCC is?
The University Hospital. That's our outpatient clinics.
Okay.
And it will allow people to come to the table and talk to trained professionals about advanced care directives and actually complete a healthcare proxy form or take one with them to discuss with their family.
Okay, very good. And you know, that's a key. Let's talk about that part of it. Discuss with your family. Filling out the paperwork is one aspect of all of this, but it seems to me that discussing this with your family is even more important, isn't it?
Absolutely. When you select a healthcare agent, you want to make sure you're looking for someone that can follow through with your wishes are. you're talking to them about what living well means to you and quality of life, and you're defining that you have the autonomy to complete your healthcare proxy, your agent is making sure they're carrying your wishes through in the event you're unable to speak for yourself.
And, you know, there's a new law in New York State, isn't there, that addresses the family healthcare decisions law. That's we're going to have Dr. Kathy Faber-Langenduhn come in soon. She's going to tell us about passage of this new law. It's kind of the, if you don't have a proxy, it's what happens, right?
Yes, and I would still encourage people to complete the healthcare proxy, even with the passage of the Family Healthcare Decisions Act, because it allows the individual autonomy and it takes the burden off the family. As a social worker, not all families get along.
Yeah.
So it's important to make sure you know what your wishes are, you put them on paper, and then you communicate to your family.
Absolutely true, because at the point where you actually need this kind of paperwork in place, you're not in any position to be talking about it with anybody. This is something you absolutely have to do ahead of time.
That's correct. The healthcare proxy is actually triggered when you become incapacitated.
What does New York State say about all of this? Does New York State provide the forms and that kind of thing too?
Yes. On the New York State Department of Health website, nysdoh.org, they actually provide the form on the website.
All right. So people can talk to their doctors. They can come to University Hospital on April 16th to get these forms. They can probably, there are other, the Sharing Your Wishes website as well. These are all places that they can get more information about making sure they've got their paperwork filled out.
That's correct.
Absolutely. That's great. We will make sure that we put links to all of this on our HealthLink On Air website. Anything else we should know about Healthcare Decisions Day?
We will be also promoting assuringyourwishes.org, which is a repository that Hospice of Central New York started, where once you complete your healthcare proxy, you can send it to Hospice and they will keep it. Your doctor, your hospital will be able to, and your family will be able to access that.
From anywhere they are.
From anywhere they are. It's computer-based.
That's excellent. Well, Mark Budulari, social worker from upstate, thank you so much for coming by this morning, National Healthcare Decisions Day.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. The new math, 4 equals 78, or getting happy paying taxes. Well, dear listeners, want to hear about a study that if we do what it says, makes us happy paying our taxes? What? Who says medical scientists are a bunch of too many pens in the pocket, ivory tower, old fuddy-duddy studying boring irrelevancies? This study is actually related to the two inevitables in life, death and taxes. The death part first. You all probably know the four top causes of biting the dust are heart disease, cancer, stroke, and diabetes. Now, a recent study of 23,000 plus folks following them for 8 years found four very healthy lifestyle factors. What are those factors? Glad you asked. The first three aren't surprising. Regular exercise, 30 minutes or more a day. 2, no tobacco. And 3, a healthy diet high in fruits, veggies, whole grains, low in red meat. But the fourth may be new. Low body mass index, BMI. BMI compares height to weight with a score of 20 to 24 ideal, 25 to 29 chubby, and 30 and above chubby. So the fourth lifestyle factor is a BMI less than 30, chubby. And these four reduce the chance of developing the four chronic killer diseases over the next 8 years dramatically. How dramatically, you might ask? Glad you asked. Having just one reduced the chance by an amazing 50%. And it just goes up, up, up from there. All four, and it's 78%. That's right, 78%. Let's keep that in mind when we're debating cheesecake or fruit, or drive to the neighbors or take a stroll, or let out the waistband or lose a few pounds. Now you might ask, what does this have to do with being happy paying taxes? Need I say, I'm glad you asked, if we do these four, think 78%, we'll be healthier. Living longer, and healthier and living longer means happier, and happier means smiling big as we celebrate living large and longer to have additional opportunities to mail our check April 15th, year after healthy year, because the real bottom line is it's death or taxes. I'm Dr. Rich, 4 equals 78 O'Neill. Thanks for tuning in.